Logistically, if you are here for the first time, in a few moments, we'll transition into an arriving sit that will be about 10 minutes. We'll move from that into a movement practice, which if the body has the capacity to walk, it might look like walking meditation. If the body does not, it will do a guided raising of the arm or a movement of the hand, whatever is possible for the body. We'll come back from that. We will sit together for a half an hour or so. Then I'll talk for a bit. And then that final portion, as Maria Christina mentioned, is both a question, time for questions, but also a time for sharing. And it's one of my favorite times because it's a chance also, I hope, for us to kind of keep strengthening the bonds of our community by learning from each other, hearing our different voices, understanding that we may be very diverse backgrounds. And yet the experience of being human is often we can all relate to it, right? Suffering is suffering. And we are in a world that is suffering. So Claire, just to come back, welcome first time, Claire, Judith in Canada. Yes, I will speak up. Thank you, Sarah. And again, if my voice does drop, it's like back in the day when we were on the land, please let me know and I'll speak back up. Yeah, and overwhelmed. I'm glad that you're here with us. So back to that point of a hope that there's this place of belonging that you can allow yourself to accept the invitation to belong. If in the course of my speech or in talking, if I say something that lands as somehow othering or exclusory based upon my privilege or just my ignorance, please let me know so that I can make amends and reframe whatever it is that I would like to reframe. The best way to do that would be to email me at gracefishermft@gmail.com. And those of you who know me and have emailed me know that I'm not, might not be immediately responsive, but I will respond. So if you don't hear from me within a couple of days, just nudge me back because I definitely want to be open to hear from you and absolutely open if I've in any way harmed anyone in the course of our time together. I think that's the end of my intro. So again, just a deep welcome. I'm so happy to be with you all. And I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. And it might be more comfortable to drop the gaze, just whatever feels right. And one of the things that has shifted in our time online is that we've often lost the transitions. So this arriving sit is a chance to have a transition from whatever you were in the middle of 10 minutes ago to arrive. So just again, in closing eyes, it might be helpful to put a hand to the heart, a hand to the belly, and just check in. Where am I? And I often will start my sits that way, and geographically, I'm pretty clear where I am. It's just energetically. Am I in a conversation I had earlier? Am I leaning forward into something else? Am I feeling a sense of anxiety because it's my first time here? Just noticing where the mind is, and can we invite our energies to be in the body? Oh, right here. And it can be helpful to place your feet on the floor and kind of, I'll often put the balls of my feet, a little bit of pressure, the balls of my feet just to ground. Like, oh yeah. Can I feel the earth beneath me? Can I feel into the sit bones on the cushion, the couch, the floor, the bed, whatever we're sitting upon? Allowing the energies that tend to swirl about in the mind just to drop down into the body, feeling the support of whatever is beneath us, whatever is supporting our body, and the support of the earth. That, of course, is supporting each of us. And allowing ourselves to take a few more moments here of feeling our place on this earth, this place that we belong to, we are a part of, that we are connected to. And some of us may be in cities and some of us in more rural areas, country. Can we allow ourselves to drop into the natural world that is around us? It might not be right out the door, but it's out there. And that's sort of the line of poetry, like allowing ourselves to take our place in the family of things, in the family of the natural world, this human body of ours. belongs on this earth. It is of this earth that belongs in this class. We belong to each other. Checking in, how is the body? Some of us are sitting in perfect health, and some of us are sitting with chronic or terminal illnesses, sitting with headaches, toothaches, recovering from surgery, and the whole spectrum of how it is to be in the body. Just noting, oh, it's like this in the body. There may be pain, there may be an absence of pain. The body may feel good, it may not. The body may not feel good. Okay. All we're doing is cultivating our capacity to be curious. Oh, how is it? It's like this. And then allowing there to be a spaciousness around the sense of, oh, sweetie, it's just like this right now. Feeling into the spaciousness of our Sangha that reaches from British Columbia down the coast of California and the myriad of points in the US, back on the coast, up into other parts of Canada. Our European sisters may join us. The Dharma sister who joins us from Africa, she may join us. That's a lot of space. Yeah, it's a very spacious Sangha. And allowing whatever you feel you might be holding or carrying in the body to offer it up to the Sangha of ours. The image that always comes to my mind, and I hope one day will be true, is that we're all around a campfire, sitting together. May we each help hold whatever each of us, that no one feels individually like they have to hold everything. We can offer it up to the Sangha, offer it up to be held by the practice. This group's been running for decades. This practice has been running for 2,700 years. There's a lot of gravitas that's holding us. Yeah. And then from what may or may not be a sense of embodiment or a connection to the body, just to check out how the thinking mind is. Noticing, is the mind unified and quiet? Is it all over the place? Agitated, restless, perseverating, judging, comparing, planning? These are all the things the mind does. Okay, none of it is a problem. It may be uncomfortable, but we're just noticing, oh, in this moment, the mind is like this. Okay. Releasing ourselves of any need for it to be otherwise. Releasing expectations. Releasing any judgments about how we think we're doing. Oh, what a miracle that we're all here together. Let us celebrate that. So again, this gentle curiosity. Oh, in the mind, it's just like that. Okay. Pleasant, unpleasant. It's okay. And then the last place of inquiry in this arriving state is the heart. And it may be helpful to place both hands over the heart, both hands at heart center, and just to check in. Sweetheart, how are you? On this morning, afternoon, evening, perhaps for some. And first, how is the heart in relation to what's happening internally, our internal landscape, our internal weather pattern? And to add a layer of nuance to the question, can we listen for an answer through the sensation, as opposed to a narrative that the mind will kick in about why the heart is feeling a certain way or how the heart is feeling, but really seeing if we can attune ourselves to what's the sensation. You may or may not have words for it. Maybe a dullness, a heaviness, a pointedness, steadiness, quiet, Again, can we feel into the sensation of the heart as we consider our internal landscape? And then widening our sense a bit to include that first circle of our beloveds. Dear ones, undoubtedly, we all have someone who's close to us who is having a hard time. And just notice as we call these beings that may have two legs or four legs or swim or fly, does the heart shift at all with perhaps a quivering of the compassion or a heaviness when we feel into the sorrow or a pain of a beloved, or a delight, a brightness as we consider what joyful things our beloveds may be experiencing. And then allowing the circle of our concerns, to borrow from Rilke, to grow ever wider. So that sort of next ring of friends and colleagues, neighbors, community members, people we don't know but see, and expanding it out to include all beings in the world. Oh, and there's a lot of suffering in the world. How's the heart respond? I'm just staying curious. Oh, the heart's like this. Sometimes it's hard to know. Okay, we're just holding space for an inquiry. Yeah, no right or wrong way to do it. And then in a moment, we'll transition into the movement practice. And as I said, some of us are in a body that does not have the capacity or the means to walk. Okay, so we can raise and lower the arm if that's an option, or moving of the hand. Regardless of what the movement is, the invitation is to just stay in the body as it's moving. Can we keep our sense of awareness, of mindfulness as we move? And the Buddha was really clear, like, this is portable. We tend to prioritize sitting as the practice. This is what counts. I want to dissuade us of that notion. It counts in whether we're standing or walking or lying down. But for this movement practice to play, again, with this idea of being curiously interested. How is it in this body as I move, whether I'm moving my arm or my hand? The mind will do what it does. And if, so for those of us at home, like, oh, I could do the dishes or I could pick up laundry. You could. I'm going to invite each of us to stay on retreat or here. You've already committed. Lean into the Dharma sisterhood of each of us, feeling into the support that each of us will be engaged in a movement practice to keep yourself on retreat. If you are able to walk, it's often maybe 10 or 12 paces. I like to take a hard stop, check in. Where am I? Where has my mind wandered off? Come back. Handle heart, handle belly, breathing in. Oh, just here. Nowhere else to be. Can we stay in the body as I lift and place my feet? Staying curious of how is it in this body in this moment? This breath and this moment, this breath. So we will ring the bell Pacific Coast time at 10:40, so 18 minutes. Enjoy your time, and we'll be back here at 10:40. All right, thank you so much, and see you soon. I hope, however, that time was spent was in some way nurturing. And as I said before, we'll move into the sit. Before I do, those of you who, when we used to meet on the land, anytime there was a shooting, we'd light candles and sometimes felt like the whole room. But remember, we were in the Great Hall one day and we had more candles than I want to name. So I have 6 candles here. I have like 3 little ones just to in reference to the shootings in Nashville. So there are 3 big candles and 3 small ones in honor of the 6 victims. I'm going to light the candles and just to hold what I there's just a sorrow in our country and a sickness, and I'll touch a little bit upon it in the Dharma talk, but I want to light these candles also as support and light, that these are dark times, but they're also beautiful times, and that in so lighting and acknowledging these beings that were killed, just also again wanting the candles, if we were together, that we could embrace the light that's there. So if, feel free to close your eyes and just know that there are six candles here holding us. So it is hard to light these little ones. How about we start this sit with a little bit of metta? So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I wish you were with me here. If there's a warmth of these candles, and may that warmth of this light that we are so in need of, that's coming, getting greater every day now that we're in spring, may that connect into the warmth of our hearts. Yeah. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be peaceful. May your goodness protect you. And just to see how it is to feel these blessings that are raining down on each one of us in our beautiful Sangha. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be peaceful. May you live with ease. Each of you may have your own phrases that resonate more deeply, and feel free to use those. And I intentionally started with an offering of you to our Sangha. May you be happy and healthy and peaceful. May you live with ease. The more traditional beginning might be to start with ourselves. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I be peaceful. May I live with ease. These are hard times. We need this practice of loving kindness for ourselves, for a world where there is way too much heartbreak. May I be peaceful. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May you live with balance. May you live with peace. May you live with ease. May your goodness protect you. And in opening this way, our meditation, hoping to encourage us to be in the heart. And sometimes it's really painful. And there's so much beauty and strength in these hearts of ours, right? Particularly when we're collected together like this in our sisterhood. May we feel the power and strength of our goodness, the fierceness of the love in our hearts. This fierce compassion, this lion-heartedness. This birthright quality of the heart, may we feel it. And if we don't, may we imagine how it will feel. May I be happy, healthy. May I be strong in my heart. May I allow myself full embrace of self-compassion and compassion for others. May my goodness protect me. So the anchor in the somewhat unusual sit is to stay with the heart. May these hearts of ours feel a sense of buoyancy and brightness and strength, even with the sorrow and the heartbreak. We are complex and fierce beings. May my goodness protect me. May I feel the strength of my own heart. May the light of these candles, the light of the sun, the brightness of the moon serve to ignite our own brightness. Such that we can be in service in whatever way we are in the world. Can we align ourselves with this brightness and know it as our own? In this breath, in this moment. Staying in the body, in this breath in, this breath out, this heartbeat, this heartbeat. Just rest in the beating of your own beautiful heart and in the pulsings of the breath in and out. Remembering there's no such thing as a bad sit. We come, we take our seats. We stay with ourselves as best we can. One breath in, one breath out. Staying with the heartbeats and our own goodness. Thank you for ringing the bell. I'm going to start with a poem that you all might know. one of those poems. That's Naomi Shihab's Nye's Kindness. Before you know what kindness really is, you must lose things. Feel the future dissolve in a moment like salt in a weakened broth. What you held in your hand, what you counted and carefully saved, all this must go. So you know how desolate the landscape can be between the regions of kindness, how you ride and ride, thinking the bus will never stop. The passengers using maize and chicken will stare out the window forever. Before you learn the tender gravity of kindness, you must travel where the Indian in a white poncho lies dead by the side of the road. You must see how this could be you, how he too was someone who journeyed through the night with plans and the simple breath that kept him alive. Before you know kindness as the deepest thing inside, you must know sorrow as the other deepest thing. You must wake up with sorrow. You must speak it till your voice catches the thread of all sorrows. You see the size of the cloth, and you see the size of the cloth. Then it is only kindness that makes sense anymore, only kindness that ties your shoes and sends you out into the day to mail letters and purchase bread. Only kindness that raises its head from the crowd of the world to say, it is I you have been looking for, and then goes with you everywhere, like a shadow or a friend. And this is such a good lesson, right? As we walk between these, I don't know, lines of sorrow and kindness, is through certainly my own darkest times, when the kindness of others has been the sort of literally the hands that have pulled me out of the darkness for sure. And how do we hold both? How do we open up to understanding, turning towards our own sorrow, whether it's about our interpersonal life or what's happening in the personal, but on the national or global scale, to open up to the sorrow but not be overtaken by it. Yeah. This is why the four Brahma Viharas, right? There's kindness, there's compassion, there's joy and equanimity, and how we need all four to be able to stay buoyant and available to be that we can keep our own light lit, if that makes sense. To be able to be a refuge for others, first we must be the refuge to ourselves. And these teachings of the balancing of the kindness, the friendliness, the loving kindness, self-compassion, compassion, karuna, joy, sympathetic joy, the joy of others, joy, the good fortune of others. The Dalai Lama says there are, I don't know, 7 billion people on the earth. If we take joy in the joy of those 7 billion, that's a lot of joy. Yeah. Thich Nhat Hanh lines that happiness is available, help yourself. We need to remember this, to look for joy, for wonder, in that balance of equanimity that can enable us to turn towards the dark, to see, oh, there's this heartache, these tragedies that happened. Okay. How do we meet that? We cannot meet it unless we have a sense of equanimity to be able to stay afloat, right? Amanda Gorman wrote this a year ago in May. It was a year ago in May that was the Texas shootings in school. Yes, the kindness was from Naomi Neopchai. So Amanda Gorman writes, schools scared to death. The truth is, one, education under desk stooped low from bullets that plunge when we ask where our children shall live and how and if. It takes a monster to kill children, but to watch monsters kill children again and again and again and do nothing isn't just insanity, it's inhumanity. The truth is, one nation under guns. What might we be if only we tried? What might we become if only we listen? I do not mean to make this into a tirade against guns. I think there's another way that we can relate to guns in this country. That's a political conversation. And again, it's tricky to bleed the politics in. And yet, this practice as lay people supports us meeting what comes. What comes is these continual tragedies, whether it's on the face of whether it's through the with kids, with racism, the myriad of ways that we as humans harm each other. Okay, this has been happening forever. Okay. And the Buddha would point to, okay, how do we cultivate a sense of kindness, steadiness, awareness in our own heart to meet these challenges and not cause more harm, right? Harm within our own selves. Sometimes we can just beat ourselves up so badly. Doesn't help. That's its own form of violence. The violence of our busyness, of being distracted, of not being present to our lives. How do we practice living in a nonviolent way? But really, to be able to understand violence isn't just like physical violence. There's sort of ways in which energetically, if we're not kind to ourselves, that could be considered a form of violence. Right? How can we turn towards, okay, if I really want to commit to this path of peace, it has to start with how I am within myself. That we are beings who have an integrated, a congruent sense of well-being and goodness and joy. Right? We know some people like that. Those are the people that we gravitate to. May we all move in that direction if it resonates. Yeah, but how do we do that? We have to really look at all the parts that are hard. Yeah, the sorrows and the grief and the rage and the frustration. The disappointments. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's all here. You know, when we put, the guest house, welcome and entertain all these visitors. They're coming to sweep our houses ready for something else, to completely mix up the lines there. And these practices of awareness, of breath, feeling our bodies, gives us the tools to be able to turn towards, okay, who's here? And the greater capacity we have to turn to ourselves and say, I know, this is rage, this is anger. It may be uncomfortable. Okay. Can there be enough space, the space of our Sangha, spaciousness with inside, that blue sky that is really the true quality of our minds? Space, space, space to hold, and heart practices so that there's a kindness that can allow us to hold, such that we can move out in the world and do good things. What is the wise response? It is not our hearts and prayers are with you. It is not the call for more moments of silence. It's not the hopeful lies of enough and never again. What is the wise response to a society gone mad, called by some insane, called by some inhumane, to a society shrouded in hatred and greed and delusion and fear, a fear so deep it rattles the bones. It rattles these boys to take guns to schools. It rattles these men to take guns to churches and supermarkets and dance halls. It rattles those of us on the sidelines, wringing our hands, shaking our heads, asking, how can this happen? And what do we do? What can we do? What is the wise response? It can only and ever be to open the heart. It can only and ever be compassion. Yet this compassion needs breath and movement. It needs each of us to find the expression, the manifestation of our own embodied compassion. This compassion needs us to alchemize the rage and despair and numbness and grief. It needs our voices, a raised chorus of voices to proclaim the eternal law. That hatred never ceases by hatred, but by love alone is healed. And heal we must, one breath, one heartbeat, one step at a time. So I ask you to close your eyes. And excuse me. I want to do a little guided, or shortish guided meditation with Tonglin. And the amazing thing about being on Zoom is you can mute me. I've done guided meditations and people are like, could she stop talking? Well, you can mute me. So we can do this. You can follow along. You can adjust it however you'd like, but take care of yourself. Okay. And Tonglin, those of you who know me, this is my in case of emergency break glass. Some of you may remember my dog Greta, and when she was hit by a car, she lived, but it was horrendous. That night after she was hit, I stayed up with her and just did Tonglin all night. And when my daughter was in the emergency room, the intensive care was the same thing. So this is definitely my go-to emergency practice. And I hope you'll join me, and I understand if you don't. So, and Tonglin is can variously be translated sort of a giving and receiving. And I love it because it's a way of harnessing the sorrow or the fear and being able to have an offering. The question of what do we do? And the sense of sometimes like, there's nothing I can do. Oh yeah, sweetie, there is. We can do this practice. And whether it's the metta practice, which is equally as I was going to say productive, but equally really like, oh, this is something I can do. Tonglin for me has that same quality. So if you close your eyes and just imagine yourself somewhere beautiful, somewhere that may be a real place to you and you just love it, or it's an imagined place, you know, that fabled island in the South Pacific or beside a lake in the Rocky Mountains on your porch. Somewhere beautiful where your body just relaxes. Oh yeah, I can rest here. And really let yourself drop there. What does it smell like? Are there flowers? What's the light like? Can you feel the sun on your face? Is there a light breeze? What are you resting your body upon? Is that perfectly smooth stone in the middle of a river there? No, this is your beautiful place. Yeah, bring in whatever you need. And let yourself take in the beauty. Again, sights, sounds, are there crickets or birds overhead, or maybe your dog is with you or a cat? What's the taste? The play of the light. Is there a wind, a breeze? And classically, the instructions, first, centering ourselves somewhere really beautiful. And at any time it feels too much, you just go back to this beautiful place. Yeah. Again, classically, is to sort of to think about well, I'm just going to go right in. The sorrow of these parents, not just the parents in Tennessee or that school community. But there's no shortage of places in the U.S. where there's been horrendous gun violence. I could list the cities, but I won't. We know this. Can you imagine breathing in the sorrow of these families? And breathing out the joy and beauty. That this offering, the courage to breathe in that which feels like, what? I don't want to do that. Breathe it in, and then we breathe out, oh, all this beauty, this relief, yeah, this ease. Breathing in the pain and breathing out offerings of beauty and support. Again, you may choose not to do this, of course, take care of yourself. But each of us carry a sorrow. Yeah. Maybe not just a sorrow. If we allow ourselves to breathe in our own sense of sorrow and breathe out a sense of a cool rain, the coolness of a full moon, the beauty of a meadow of wildflowers, allowing ourselves to touch into our own sorrow. Before I know kindness, I must know sorrow as the other deepest thing. Can we breathe in a sense of sorrow, breathe out a sense of kindness and love and brightness? Our own sorrow, yours, mine. Tell me about despair, yours. I will tell you about mine. Bring in Mary Oliver. Breathe in the sorrow. Breathe out this kindness, this natural movement of the heart. We are wired to be cooperative. Bringing in a sense of sorrow. Breathing out a sense of kindness, a sense of beauty, of light. Breathing in a sense of the sorrow felt by individuals around the world, communities. Breathing out a sense of kindness, of supportive hands, of nurturing delicious food, of bountiful water, of freedom and safety. Breathing in a sense of a myriad of sorrows and struggles, breathing out the equally miraculous numbers, ways of kindness and compassion. Breathing in a dark smokiness, breathing out cool rain, cool breeze. Breathing in the dark weight of a sorrow, breathing out the brightness of a beautiful sunny day. Yeah, so this is the rhythm, breathing in a sense of the darkness, breathing out light, breathing in a quality, a constriction perhaps of the sorrow, breathing out the expansiveness of kindness. Knowing it's not our own, we don't do this through our own will, this is just the natural way. We allow ourselves to tap into the universal goodness that does support us. Just as the sun rises every day and shines its light, that's what's supporting us in this practice. Yeah. Not our own individual egos. Allowing ourselves to feel the connection to others through our own individual sorrow, the collective sorrow. Exhaling kindness, our own kindness towards ourselves, and the greater sense of kindness in the world. This is a connective process. Breathing in, breathing out. Breathing in sorrow, breathing out kindness that can touch all beings. Especially on this day, perhaps those families in Nashville and everywhere else, that there are tragedies and suffering. Breathing in sorrow, breathing out kindness, breathing in sadness, breathing out joy. The darkness and despair, inhale. And then exhale, brightness, that meadow of flowers. Yeah, a sunset. A full moon, watching in your own imagination, what are the images of beauty and joy and comfort that you can offer? Pay attention to that. Never underestimate the power of kindness, energetic or otherwise. Breathing in a heavy smokiness, breathing out a cool breeze, cool, clear water. Breathing in sorrow, breathing out kindness. Hands that will help hold, hands that will help cook and support and love. Breathing in sorrow, breathing out a sense of holding and listening and spaciousness. Breathing in a sense of loneliness, breathing out a sense of community. Yeah. Whether it's our own loneliness, connecting that in, connecting it to the millions of people who also feel a sense of loneliness, breathing out a sense of community, a sense of being held, a sense of warmth. Whatever those images may be, that may be associated with those words. This is a powerful practice. Question, what do we do? This is something we can do. It may not be the only thing, but this cultivation of connection to connect our hearts with others by opening ourselves to the sorrows, the loneliness, the heartaches, extending well wishes, a sense of ease and beauty, delight, coolness, fresh, yummy food, again, clear water, safety. This we can do together. Breathing in that darkness, breathing out bright lights, sunrises, sunsets, full moons. The sight of the Milky Way. Breathing in the constriction that can come with sorrow and heartache and loneliness, breathing out the expansiveness of the ocean horizon, the stars at night. Breathing in, breathing out. This breath in, this breath out. I'm going to ask to release the Tonglen practice and allowing your attention to come back to the body. Maybe put the hand to the heart, hand to the belly. Allowing yourself to come back to that beautiful place where you started. To feel the play of the light. To smell what scents may be in the air. To listen to the sounds that may be around you. And perhaps keeping a hand to the heart, hand to the belly. May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May my goodness protect me. May I live with ease. Breathing in, breathing out. May I be happy. Exhale, may I be peaceful. Exhale. May I live my life with ease. Exhale. Imagining in your mind's eye our Dharma sisters, those who are present today, those who are unable to be with us today, and extending these well wishes to each other. May you be happy. Healthy, peaceful. May you live with ease. May your goodness protect you. Giving and receiving these well wishes. May you be happy and healthy. May you be peaceful. Just as you are wishing your Dharma sisters well, they are wishing you well. It's giving and receiving. This generosity of which we can play in. Giving and receiving, may you be happy and peaceful. May your goodness protect you. May you live with ease. May you have balance and peace in your life. Allowing yourself to feel the generative power of these powerful, fierce hearts, offering well wishes to each other across state lines, national lines. And that these well wishes spill out from our Sangha and touch all beings who are grieving, all beings who are celebrating. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be peaceful. May you live with ease. May these generative blessings spill out and touch all beings who are scared and lonely, touching all beings who are strong and healthy, those beings being born, those beings who are passing. May you be happy and healthy. May you live with peace and ease. May you find balance. May these blessings touch all beings that walk and fly and swim and crawl. No one is left out. May all beings live with ease and peace. May all beings be safe from harm, inner and outer. May all beings know the goodness of their own hearts. And I will stop there. And thank you for your...
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.